In the morning to all human resources across Gitmo Nation. This is Dame Tanya coming to you on a Saturday, and I thought I'd do a lifestyle type of report for you. I really wish there were more food and wine reports on No Agenda, but the material that John and Adam come up with is so amazing and very important that at the end of the day I really don't mind, but I figured I'd bring you a little of that sort of material, shake it up a little bit. So this past week on Tuesday, I went to an event called the Russ and Daughters Herring Pairing in New York City at the Astor Center. Russ and Daughters is a shop on the Lower East Side that's been there since 1914, and they're what's known as an appetizing shop or appetizers, which I didn't know until just recently, but the reason that it's called that is because of the Jewish dietary laws, you can't have dairy and meat at the same time. So that spawned two different kinds of shops. There were the delicatessens, of which the most, probably the most famous, certainly the most traditional and old school in New York City is Katz's Delicatessen, which some of you may recognize as the set of the faked orgasm scene in When Harry Met Sally. Yes, quite interesting, showing my age there if you remember that movie. And the other type of shop was the appetizing or appetizer shop, and those were the shops that sold fish and dairy. So at Russ and Daughters, you can get any manner of smoked fish, bagels, cream cheese, caviar, all that wonderful, delicious stuff. So the idea of the herring pairing is it's held once a year during the time that the new Holland herring, new catch Holland herring, are first imported. And they have a very, very short season, the new catch Holland herring. They're only caught from between the end of May to the beginning of July, so the season is actually ending pretty soon. And it's a very young fish, the herring, and they're very, they have a high fat content at that point in their life, so they're just really amazing and delicious. So of course that is the featured item at the event, but there are also several different other types of preparations of herring, smoked and pickled, et cetera, and each one is paired with a different wine or liqueur, which is, it's quite a lot of fun. Walk around tasting, you just go around and taste all this stuff. I first went last year, sort of as trying to get into my Scandinavian background. I'm part Swedish, and the herring is very popular there as well. In fact, my surname, Wieman, it sounds very German, but it's actually Swedish. It was Weiman, V-I-M-A-N, they changed it for whatever reason. And every year there's a featured chef at the tasting, and last year was Wiley Dufresne, who is known more in the molecular gastronomy world, which sort of gets slagged off these days, but he is really an amazing chef, and it doesn't matter what the technique is. If your food is great, then it's just going to be delicious. So he was there last year. This year it was April Bloomfield, and she is a British chef who's now based in New York. And she has quite a few restaurants here, the Spotted Pig, the John Dory Oyster Bar, and the Breslin. And her dish was lemon-cured new catch Holland herring with herbs on toast, which was just amazing. It was so, so delicious. And that was paired with Prosecco, which of course is the champagne, basically Italian champagne, sparkling wine. So I have a picture of that in the show notes for the for this episode. And you can get that if you miss it on the new No Agenda Network River. You can find that by going to podcasts.nashownotes.com, click on all No Agenda producers feeds, and then find Dame Tanya in the list. And the other items, I'll just quickly go run down of the other items that were that we tasted. There was a mustard and dill herring on crisp bread, which was just delicious. It was pickled herring, marinated with Swedish mustard, and et cetera, et cetera. And that was paired with Hendrick's gin, which just, you know, standard, your run-of-the-mill gin, but it was good. Curried herring with medjool dates and roasted cashews, which was just really different. It was interesting. It was a pickled herring, which had curry powder, lemon, sour cream, et cetera, et cetera. Very, very delicious. And that was paired with a Spanish vermouth, which was just really interesting, really delicious. It says less sweet than traditional sweet vermouth, which I agreed with. And it was just really wonderful. Had notes of clove, anise, cardamom, et cetera, et cetera. And then there were two tables, unfortunately, that they ran out, which I was very unhappy about. But so the ones that we didn't get to taste were the oak smoked French herring Caesar salad with bagel chip croutons, which was paired with in oak cross blended Scotch whiskey, and the Swedish matjes herring. I'm probably pronouncing that wrong. That just means young matjes. And that was paired with a semi-dry sparkling cider, which I did get a little bit of the cider, which was nice, but missed out on the fish. And then we had the schmaltz herring with boiled new potato, which was quite good. It's a more salty herring, very, very good. And that was paired with the aquavit. I think I'm pronouncing that right. It's either aquavit or aquavit, but I think it's aquavit, which is it's similar to a vodka. It's based on either potatoes or grain, and it's flavored with herbs, usually caraway, which this one was, but it can be other herbs. And that was really, really good. I probably had too much of that. Then there was the pickled herring with pickled onions and cream sauce on Baltic rye, which was just really, really wonderful with the pickled taste. And that was paired with the Bol's Genever. And Genever is a Dutch liquor that is flavored with juniper, and it's basically the precursor to gin, which is very interesting. I learned something researching this show. So yes, on to the main event, the New Catch Holland herring, which, as I said, it's got this high fat content, so it's really buttery and just so, so delicious. And I ended up having three of them. But the traditional way to eat that is it's a fillet. They cut the head off, obviously. You're not going to eat the head. Some people probably do, but we didn't. And they cut the head off, fillet it, but keep the two fillets attached to the tail and take the bones out. And what you do is you put finely chopped onions on it. And you can also use cornichons, which are chopped up pickles, which is not the more traditional way. You're supposed to use the onions. And you roll it around the onions and then tilt your head back, hold it up over your head, and lower it into your mouth. And you can see a picture of me in the show notes doing such, although it was after the first bite, so you didn't get to see the whole fillet. They're about 5 or 6 inches long, the fillets. It was just so, so delicious. And then after we went around and tasted everything, tasted all the liqueurs and stuff, then there was a performance by John Zorn, who is a saxophonist, musician, composer, in the avant-garde jazz field. And it was himself and a guitarist, and he is just someone that I've loved for a long time. His performances are amazing. It's just really, really wild stuff. So he started off playing, and started off with a more traditional Jewish song, and then went into his more usual style of the avant-garde stuff, which is more out there. And it was pretty interesting during the set. Was waiting in line for another one of the New Catch Holland herring, and turn around and there's Lou Reed across the room. So that was pretty interesting. Got a shot of him in the show notes, and it's really kind of funny because my sister and I joke about this all the time. Since I moved to New York City, the celebrity that I run into the most has been Lou Reed. It's like everywhere I go, there's Lou Reed. So it's kind of funny, but you know, definitely great guy, legend, and I'm honored to run into Lou Reed. So after the set was over, I really wanted to, because I enjoyed it so much. Like, his playing is, it's not just playing a song. It's really like communicating an emotion through the playing, and you can feel it. And it's just, I had such a great time listening to it. And of course, you know, all the alcohol didn't hurt. But so I really wanted to go up and just tell John Zorn at the end of the set how much I enjoyed it. But when I first moved to New York, my friends, you know, they taught me the New York rules. Like, you don't stop in the middle of the sidewalk, you move off to the side first. You don't wait in line outside of a restaurant because there are 12,000 other restaurants that are just as good or better. And you don't approach John Zorn because he's got quite a reputation for being an ornery character, something which makes me like him even more because I love a good crank. But yeah, so he's known, you don't know what you're gonna get, basically. So, but I'd actually seen the house photographer was trying to get a picture of him during his set, and he chased her off the stage. I felt bad for her, but it was pretty funny. But a couple of other people during the set had gone up and just said, whatever, and he didn't bite their head off. So I figured, what the hell, let me just go up and say, you know, it was great, and I enjoyed seeing him the previous year because this is the second year that I've seen him do it. And I had to tell him this little story about many years ago, some friends of and I were listening to a tape, a live tape of one of his performances that someone had recorded. And someone all of a sudden piped up and said, this sounds like a car screeching to a halt for 5 minutes straight, which is pretty much exactly what it sounded like. It was brilliant, but it was so good at the same time. I mean, that doesn't sound like it would sound good, but you just had to be there. And so I told him that. He seemed to appreciate it. And the guitarist is like, oh my God, that's so perfect. That's exactly right. So that was quite funny. So then at the end of the night, after that, we were quite full. So we headed out, and that was the tasting. It was really a lot of fun. If you're in the area, it's a really fun thing to do. And if not, then perhaps, you know, near you there's something similar to that. If you like fish, it really is just delicious and wonderful. So I just had one more very sad note for anyone who's familiar with the area or not. Even if you've watched the Seinfeld show, which I'll get into in a minute, you will know what I'm talking about. I would play taps if I wasn't sure that I wouldn't get sued for it. But after 40 years, the original location of H&H Bagels on the Upper West Side has closed. Yes, Cosmo Kramer has no job to return to, even if the strike did end. It's just so sad. I mean, unfortunately, the last few years, the quality had kind of gone down, and they were ridiculously expensive, even considering, even if they were still the best. My favorite recently has been Absolute Bagels, which is further up Broadway. But it's just sad. It's like the memories of that place. My first apartment in New York was just a couple blocks away, and it seems anyone who's ever lived in that neighborhood can tell you the same story, and that's everyone had this experience where you're out at a gig and, you know, you're stumbling home bombed at 3 o'clock in the morning, you get out of the subway and you're staggering down the street, and there's H&H, and at that time in the morning, the bagels were always fresh right out of the oven, and they were still warm, and you just go and you get one, you'd be like, ah. It was just the best thing you've ever eaten in your life, and it was just so good, and it would soak up the alcohol, and you'd be able to function the next day. So, it's really sad. But, I mean, there's still a location in Midtown, but it's not the same, and like I said, they hadn't been as good, but it's just, oh well. So I think that's all I have for you today. I hope I didn't ramble too much. I know I'm a little shaky. I'm like, you know, the woman on the second to the last no agenda, but hopefully I'll get more used to this. And any and all comments you have would be great, positive or negative. Was it interesting? Did you learn something? Do you not give a crap about what happens in New York City? It's all good. So of course you can find me on Twitter. Best way would just go to @DameTanya, DameTanya, and that has a pointer to my normal Twitter account. It's my first name and last name. It's easier to remember, just Dame Tanya. Go to Dame Tanya and it'll tell you where to go. Okay, so hope all my Gitmo Nation West people have a fantastic Independence Day. And to all human resources in Gitmo Nation, hope you have a great weekend and catch you again soon sometime. Bye-bye.